believe that God picks and chooses only certain people to be saved just on whim, just because. And because God just picks some people just because to be saved, then God also picks some people to go to hell. I'm not so sure about that. Is that the road to salvation? It is if God has picked you. But is it for anybody else? Some people believe that God really doesn't care. That God has somehow started this magnificent universe in motion, set it spinning like a top, only to say, "I'm done. Let them do with it what they will, and let it die a slow death." Methodists don't believe this. We don't believe that we must be perfect before God will have us. In fact, we know that even if we're pretty good, that won't be enough. And we don't believe that God loves some enough to save them and take them to heaven and send the rest to hell. And we don't believe that God has started this project called creation only to step away from it and leave it to its own devices. Methodists have an order of salvation rooted in the love of God. That's what we celebrate. So let us join together in celebrating the order of salvation as presented with the words of Wesley, with scripture, and with song. Here's the basic plan. We will share the scripture. We'll share a couple of words from John Wesley and those who follow him. And then we will select a hymn. You're going to select the hymn. It's sort of a vote. Yeah, we'll have a vote. Multiple choice vote. And you can see what it is there. Let us begin. The first scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "And you he made alive, when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. For the preventing grace of God, which is common to all, is sufficient to bring us to Christ, though it is not sufficient to carry us any further till we are justified." From John Wesley's Principles of a Methodist. For Wesley, prevenient grace was most fundamentally revealed in moral conscience. But what does this imply for moral action or faithful response? There has been diversity of interpretation. On one end of a spectrum, one can find understanding of prevenient grace as power given to human beings, an endowment of ability to take initiative and to act righteously. There is no longer a natural man, but only a graciously capable person. Emphasis in this case is on the power to initiate movement toward God. In the middle position, prevenient grace is interpreted as a conscience that can evoke repentance. People are, by grace, aware of their fallen condition and may or may not respond to God's gracious overture. Response, rather, is emphasized rather than initiatives. At the other end of the spectrum, prevenient grace has been interpreted in a more restrictive manner. Faith is altogether a gracious gift of God. The freedom of sinful humanity is only the liberty of rebellion. It is wholly negative. This freedom leads to despair. Human inability is recognized. Thanks to prevenient grace, and also thanks to prevenient grace, humans cease to resist, and God's plan is able to operate. That from Thomas Langford. Okay, audience, it is time to vote. Please pick up your handy-dandy voting device. And if you would like to sing, Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast, raise your handy-dandy gospel thing. No takers. If you would like to sing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, raise your handy-dandy voting device. Okay, you've got to raise your handy-dandy voting device. If you'd like to sing Just As I Am, please raise your handy-dandy voting device. There you go. Okay. If you'd like to sing the summons, please raise your handy-dandy voting device. Chris breathes a sigh of relief. Let us turn to page 357 and sing together all of Just As I Am. Where before, in our condition of original sin, God offers the gift of prevenient grace to bring us into relationship with Him, when we come into relationship with God, we find ourselves in need of salvation, and God provides for us once again that which we need. And so we hear from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and made us sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. But when we have once received the Spirit of adoption, this peace, which passes all understanding, and which expels all painful doubt and fear, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And when this has brought forth its genuine fruit, all inward and outward holiness, it is undoubtedly the will of Him that calls us to give us always what He has once given, so that there is no need that we should evermore be deprived of either the testimony of God's Spirit or the testimony of our own, the consciousness of our walking in all righteousness and true holiness. That is from Wesley's sermon number 11, The Witness of the Spirit. Tom Langford comments about this. Justification is by grace through faith. Grace makes faith a possibility, for faith is a graciously enabled response to grace. In this sense, faith, therefore, is the necessary condition of justification. Yes, the only necessary condition thereof. Faith, as Wesley defined it, is trust and confidence. It is response to the initiative of God. Human beings who were estranged from God are now, by forgiveness, drawn into positive relationship, a relationship with fulfilled meaning. Faith is knowledge of God, as God has prepared the way for and now prompts human response. The source of faith is God. Wesley spoke of faith as a divine, supernatural evidence or conviction of things not seen, not discoverable by our bodily senses, as being either past, future, or spiritual. There is no self-salvation. Justification is a free gift, the gift of God in Jesus Christ, and faith, the condition of justification, also is a gift given to fallen persons. Dear audience, take in your hand your handy-dandy high-tech voting device, and know that the hymns that are listed between 361 and 381 in the hymnal all fall under the category of justifying grace. But vote for one of the ones listed below. If you would like to sing Rock of Ages, please raise your handy-dandy voting device. Okay, we got one. All right. If you would like to sing Blessed Assurance, raise your handy-dandy voting device. Okay. If you'd like to sing Standing on the Promises, please raise your handy-dandy voting device. Okay. If you'd like to sing Amazing Grace, please raise your handy-dandy voting device. We are called by God to go on to perfection in love. An editorial comment here is that that means that you're not called to go on to perfection by being mistake-free. Nor, for that matter, is it a guarantee that you will never commit a sin again. It is, however, that your intention is to go forward and never commit a sin, and to do the best you can, especially in terms of loving God and loving your neighbor. We are called to go on to perfection in love, and with God's help, lead and work in us by sanctifying grace, we do so. Therefore, we read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wesley's comment to this is many, and if you notice, of the hymns that are available under the heading of grace in the hymnal, approximately 27 of them are under prevenient grace. Approximately 20 are under the heading of justifying grace, but for sanctifying grace, it is nearly 150 hymns. John Wesley says, from the time of our being born again, the gradual work of sanctification takes place. We are enabled by the Spirit to mortify the deeds of the body, of our evil nature, and as we are more and more dead to sin, we are more and more alive to God. We go on from grace to grace while we are careful to abstain from all appearance of evil and are zealous of good works as we have opportunity, doing good to all persons while we walk in all of his ordinances blameless. Therein, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, while we take up our cross and deny ourselves every pleasure that does not lead to God. Sermon 43, The Scripture Way of Salvation. And then from Wesley's conversations, in universal obedience, in keeping all the commandments, in denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily, these are the general means which God hath ordained for our receiving his sanctifying grace. The particular are prayer, searching the scriptures, taking the Lord's Supper, and fasting. Taking in hand your handy-dandy voting device, high-tech as it is, and seeing the four well-known hymns standing listed there below, let us vote now. Those who would like to sing Take Time to Be Holy, please raise your hand. Ooh, okay. What about Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing? Oh, wow, okay. How about Be Thou My Vision? What about Stand Up for Jesus? We can't possibly sing this sitting down. Stand up then, and let us sing Stand Up for Jesus. Hymn number 514. The prayer is there in the bulletin. Let us read together, and then we'll sit and take care of our regular prayers. O God, so often we try to seek our salvation in the good works we see ourselves doing, and not by the grace you extend to us through the cross. Too often, Lord, we even allow ourselves to believe our works make us better in your eyes, and we fail to see that we are forgiven only by your grace, and good works are what you call us to be about. Forgive us, O Lord, in Christ we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A little bit of pastoral advice at this point. If you ever, one of the best devotional practices you can have is taking the hymns and using them as prayers and reading. And if you ever have a place, a need to look for a way of opening yourself to God, I encourage you to use the hymnal and use the hymns, your favorite hymns, whatever they might be, as a way of beginning a prayer to God. Let us pray. In the stillness, Lord, and in the quiet, make known to us the depth of your love for each of us. And grow in us the awareness of your love, so that not only in this hour and not only in this day, but through each and every hour and each and every day, we know you to be our constant companion, not just in theory and in hope, but in spirit and in truth. The past hurts. And so, Lord, we come with our past, and the present hurts, asking that you touch us in our wounds, heal us, and help us to grow. Perhaps soften our scars, and always to remember with love. We also ask, Lord, for help in the present moment, for new terrors and new difficulties and challenges face our brothers and sisters, for those who are experiencing floods in North Dakota and Minnesota, for those who are experiencing deprivations in war zones, for those whose lives are torn apart by economic disaster, for any who suffer, for those who are blinded to their own iniquities, and for those who suffer for the iniquities of others.
for those who are hungry and for those who are homeless, for those who are mentally ill, and for those who are without hope. For those who are confident that they are perfect and acceptable on their own. For those who disdain your way and disdain your people. We ask blessings and prayers upon us in this congregation as we start a new ministry to children, as we seek to celebrate the gift of your cross and resurrection, as we share the joy of baptism, and we pledge ourselves to be caretakers of your earth. Help us to take it with us, Lord, into our lives and make it count. In Christ's name we pray, and whose name and voice we add to his prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we give those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.